WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Young guy's got some chops. Come on. Where does a 21-year-old... Who is this? Dave Brubeck? Who is this?
It's Miles Davis.
Miles Davis.
It's off Kinda Blue. It's John Coltrane on a...
Sandy. Nice. How can... So, how do you know anything about John Coltrane and Miles Davis?
I was really into jazz when I was in high school.
When you were young, Ken, are you going to say something like
No, when I was in high school.
That was so long ago, right?
Yeah.
And I'm still into jazz, but I don't know. I just did research on it, and I looked up people to listen to, and I bought their vinyls. And
oh, you've got vinyls.
I went on Spotify because you can find any artist on here pretty much.
So. Sandy, this guy is something special. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. This Friday's with Sandy Williams. And we're listening to John Coltrane and Miles Davis.
Yeah, I used to.
And I didn't request it.
No, it was cool. I used the break to brush up a little on the John Birch Society.
Yeah, let's
realize that it was actually Grand Chute near Appleton where it was headquartered. This guy, Robert Welch. This all came back to me in a flood as I was reading about it. Robert Welch, a candy maker, was sort of the founder of it. And it was definitely at the time sort of an echo of the McCarthy period. It was basically anti-communist, but it wrapped itself in the Constitution, using the Constitution as sort of the Christ and communists as the Antichrist, kind of a juxtaposition of discussion. And interestingly, as I was reading it there, it was the Reagan period. William Buckley, who was sort of the outstanding spokesman for the conservative movement, sort of the intellectual spokesman for it, and they wanted to purge the Republican Party of the influence of the Birch Society because their feeling was that the conservative movement would be tainted by what they viewed as the sort of encroaching fascism, that flavor that the Birch Society had in terms of its approach, which was ends justify the means, conservatism is the utmost importance, and their definition of conservatism was very conservative.
You know, Sandy, you mentioned Bill Buckley, and I recall as a young kid, I don't know, 16 years old or so, I would watch Bill Buckley on Firing Line. It would be him, and what's the other guy that was on there with him on the Democratic side of things? He hung around a long time.
Yes.
And I used to watch those guys. You know, we didn't have cable and all those kind of things, but just, you know, when you talk about conservatism and watching how that evolved, I didn't really know at the time what it was I was watching, but I know I always would see it. But you know, Sandy, you look now at, what the conservative movement is today. And Sandy, there's something brewing in the halls of conservatism, that when the conservatives can kick a Liz Cheney out, and she loses by one of the largest numbers almost in the history of this nation for incumbent, you know, elected officials, and she loses by 38-39%. And as Liz Cheney, her dad neocons. Just a few years ago, there would have been no way possible. Well, that Liz Cheney could have lost.
Well, I think it's because really the Republican Party has lost its ideological moorings and has become a personality cult, and they respond to the personality leader, which is Donald Trump. And so the whole, you know, the reason she lost, everyone understands it, is because she voted for the impeachment of Donald Trump, along with Adam Kinzinger, who didn't even buy, he didn't run because he knew that he could see the writing on the wall. Both of them clearly put their own ethical positions ahead of the notion that political power for the party was the most important outcome. And that's, I think, what this is when I mentioned earlier that Buckley and Reagan and the leaders of the conservative movement in the 80s were concerned about the Birch Society, was that it had an ideological bent that could be repellent and it would be kind of fascist. Well, currently, it looks like only Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney have the ethical standards and sort of the backbone to stand up against power for its own purposes. You know, the Republican Party and maybe the Democrats seem much more intent on doing whatever it is necessary to have the party in power than it is that they want to install some policy or have some moorings that are important to the American people.
So, Sandy, in your opinion, long term, this has to be damaging, or will be damaging, to the Republican Party. There's no way possible that whoever they were, prior to Donald Trump, they're not anymore.
Well, if our republic is to last in its current form, it will be damaging to the Republican Party. If it isn't damaging to the Republican Party, and if the Republican Party thrives in this power over principle kind of outlook, then it might be a watershed time when the Republican Party becomes essentially something much more like an autocratic, the party of power, not the party in power. And I'm afraid that that's what they're trying to create, this restriction on voting and all of the things that are being taken, all the steps being pursued by the Republican Party are an attempt to create the Republican Party a party of power rather than the party which is temporarily in power.
You know, Sandy, and all of that then dismisses the people, right? I mean, the people, the average people that they supposedly were there to support and fight for, don't even come into the picture anymore.
Well, I think it has to do with this saving the fabric of American society, the concept that they're going to save America from itself. They're going to save America from the people. Essentially, that is essentially the current refrain amongst the super conservatives is we're going to save America from the people.
Got to go to a break. I'll see you on the phone lines. We'll come to you after the break. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.